Good afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic View Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and all major podcast providers. So if you can't catch the show live, you can download it or simply use our free podcast player, which is available on our website at www.theorganicview.com. If you'd like to connect with us, please post a question on our wall on Facebook or send me a tweet at June Stoyer on Twitter. If you'd like to be on the show or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at questions@theorganicview.com. Today's show is sponsored by Austria's Finest Naturally Authentic Pumpkin Seeds and Pumpkin Seed Oil from the Steiermark, available at organicuniverse.com. Listeners of The Organic View can receive $1 off their purchase by using the coupon code ORGVIEW. That's ORGVIEW. Also, don't forget to check out our contest section on our website to submit your information for our free monthly giveaways. For more information, please visit our website at www.theorganicview.com/contests. On today's show, I will be joined by Mr. Graham White, who has some breaking news in regards to an open letter to American beekeepers. But before we get to Mr. White, I'd like to welcome to the show my special guest co-host, Mr. Tom Theobald, along with his special weather report. Good afternoon, Tom.
Hi, June. We're into summer now. We're having hot days in the 90s, and the bees are loving it. So we're into summer.
Thank you, Tom. Our listeners just absolutely love your weather forecast. It's always interesting to see what's going on in Colorado. And our special guest today is Mr. Graham White, who's calling in from Scotland. Hello, Graham.
Hi, June. I'm getting a complete echo of everything that's being said. Is that okay? I'm getting a delay, a time delay of about 3 seconds on everything.
I guess that's what happens when you put out an open letter to American beekeepers.
Can you not hear it? Sorry.
No.
Okay.
I can't hear it.
Okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay. So in any event, Graham, welcome to the show. Graham, would you care to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get to the open letter?
Sure. I'm a beekeeper here in Scotland. I've been keeping bees since about 1994. I spent my lifetime in environmental education, and I'm now retired, mainly taking children up and down mountains and out to the beaches and forests of Scotland to try and interest them in the environment. And that's really what got me into beekeeping. It's an endlessly fascinating hobby. You get to give your friends beautiful honey, and you get to spend a lot of time among the flowers and the bees, which is extremely good therapy for modern life.
Thank you, Graham. Now, Tom, before we get to the open letter, could you just refresh our listeners' memories as far as this task force report on bee health and pollinator health that was issued by the White House, along with the previous year's memorandum?
There was a presidential memorandum that was issued in June of 2014, and it called for the heads of the federal agencies to come up with a strategy to address the loss of pollinators. Honeybees being a focus, but it would include a wide range of pollinating insects. And a task force was pulled together, the Task Force on Pollinator Health. I don't know exactly what the name of it is, but it was supposed to have given its report by December of 2014, and it didn't report until 5 months later, and that report came out on the 19th of May, and it's a great disappointment to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Go ahead, Graham.
I was just going to say, I only became aware, because I live in Europe, I only became aware of the task force being set up in about October 2014 when it published its agenda And a San Francisco beekeeper got in touch with me and said, this is the death of American beekeeping if they go ahead with this, because the beekeepers' representatives have already agreed to, I think it was a 5 or 6 point agenda, which when you read through it was virtually meaningless. It sort of said, we'll plant more flowers and we'll look at sunshine and we'll look at this and that, but we definitely won't look at pesticides. And the overwhelming consensus of over 800 internationally peer-reviewed papers is that the major cause of over 10 million bee colony deaths in America is pesticides. So why was the task force refusing to look at pesticides? And the answer is the main players in the task force sat around the table were Bayer, Syngenta, Monsanto, and a shadowy organization called the Keystone Foundation, which the government tends to use when it has a difficult thing to handle. And merely for mentioning that, you know, I sent an email saying, why would the American beekeeping establishment sit down with corporations who are going to chew them up into little bits and throw the pieces out of the window? And merely for saying that, I was disinvited from addressing the two major beekeeping conferences in the USA in January that year. It was literally taboo. You could not say anything. And so they went ahead with that agenda, and they got exactly what the agenda set out. We're going to plant more wildflowers. We're going to look at viruses and bacteria and various other things. But we are definitely never, ever going to go near the thing that's killing the bees, which is the pesticides.
Now, I just want to interject for our listeners' sake so that they can refer back to the actual announcement from the White House. Now, folks, for those that have not been following this, if you go to whitehouse.gov, there is an announcement that was made on May 19th of 2015, and it is announcing new steps to promote pollinator health. And basically, it outlines three overarching goals. One is to reduce honeybee colony losses to economically sustainable levels. Two, increase monarch butterfly numbers to protect the annual migration. And three, restore or enhance millions of acres of land for pollinators through combined public and private action. Now, what Mr. White is talking about, really, it's not even mentioned here as far as addressing the issue of pesticides. And it's just preposterous that they don't even mention anything about the pesticides when it's just so obvious.
I'm afraid that the entire exercise was planned in advance. The plan was for the pesticide corporations, the EPA and the USDA, to hijack the entire task force to get their agenda on the table and to coerce or persuade or manipulate the beekeepers into signing up to it. And tragically, that's what they've done. And since the actual report was published a few weeks ago, virtually every major environmental NGO in the United States has condemned the task force report for failing to address the major cause of bee deaths, which is pesticides. So the Center for Food Safety condemned it. The National Resources Defense Council condemned it. EcoWatch condemned it, and so on. There's a whole list of them in our letter. And in the face of that almost universal condemnation, what have the beekeepers' organizations done? They have been completely silent. They haven't said a word.
Know, in fairness to the beekeepers, and I understand what you're saying, Graham, and yeah. I agree with what you're saying. But for years, the beekeepers have been put in the position of being the bad guys. We're supposed mm-hmm. to be the enforcers. We're the fly in the ointment. We're the impediment to the real agriculture. And I've used the analogy of the interstate highway system. If the average citizen was expected to go out on the interstate and enforce the traffic laws, the speed limits, we would think that was ridiculous. But that's mm-hmm. exactly the position that the American beekeepers have been put in. And we're all tired. We've been hammered with these pesticides for decades, and we're just worn out.
Yeah, I'm not speaking in any way personally about the beekeepers' representatives. That I think they are decent, honorable, good people. They didn't realize, or to call them naive would be the wrong word, for them to go up against billion-dollar corporate lawyers and billion-dollar public relations people from Monsanto, Bayer, and Syngenta, it's no contest. They were going to get chewed up and spat out no matter what they did. And when I spoke to them, they said, well, we either sit at the table and help define the menu, or we are the menu. Well, tragically, I'm afraid they were the menu anyway. They got eaten lock, stock, and barrel.
Yes, we have. But what are we to do? We get no support. The NGOs have been very supportive, and we're really appreciative of that. Mm-hmm. But Congress has done nothing. What's happening here is what is an old bureaucratic and corporate ploy, which is to create a paper trail to give the impression that something is being done when it isn't. And if you look at this task force report, the presidential memorandum set out three major objectives, and June listed those: reduce the bee losses, increase the number of monarchs, and improve the habitat. And what this task force has done after almost a year is simply restated those, but offers very little substance in how to achieve them. The more concrete of those three would be the proposal to improve 7 million acres of habitat, but they have taken no steps to determine the level of poisoning of that habitat, and the evidence is that the American environment has been heavily poisoned with these neonicotinoids and many other things, and the concern is that this won't be habitat. This will simply accelerate the losses because these will be 7 million acres of additional killing fields.
Mm-hmm. It's also, you wouldn't need, you know, over 200 million acres of American crops, which have flowers, are treated with neonicotinoid pesticides and herbicides and fungicides and so on. And that 200 million acres in the past would have contained extensive areas, not just of the crops flowers, but of many, many wildflowers and additional flowers in the field margins. The problem is that the efficiency of the herbicides is so extremely good these days that they have wiped every flower from the face of the earth. You probably remember last year there was a very imaginative artist who went around the world with a 1 cubic foot frame. He made a little frame out of 6 pieces of wire, or is it 8 pieces of wire, and he put this empty frame into various habitats, and he counted all of the living things that passed through that frame in 24 hours. And when he did it in an urban park in South Africa, he found 247 different species of beetle, bee, insect, worm, and so on crawled through his little frame. When he did it in an Ohio cornfield, he found one living thing after 24 hours. When he did it in a rainforest, he got thousands of living things. But that's what they have done to the American landscape. They have reduced it to an ecological desert in which the only thing that is alive is the crop which makes the money.
That's scorched earth agriculture.
It is industrialized scorched earth agriculture. And of course, it's not really any different here in the UK. We've lost 97% of all of our flower-rich meadows since 1945. And whatever the model is defined in America by Monsanto and Bayer and Syngenta, that model eventually comes here. It already is here. But they're taking that model to India, Argentina, Australia, everywhere in the world is the target of this industrialized agriculture, which cannot survive without vast use of insecticides, herbicides, fungicides, and other pesticides. And it literally is against life itself.
Well, now we're beginning to see some very serious health problems. And of course, we were assured that there would be none. There's great concern about the human health consequences of this drenching of the environment with these chemicals as well.
Yeah. And there was something else I was going to say about that, about the scorched earth policy of agriculture. What was it? My brain's going. Sorry, you'll have to pass me over for a second.
You know, part of the problem is that we have to go to these lengths to put out a letter like this, and I'm sure that both you and I and anyone who's associated with this are going to be the recipients of a great deal of anger. misdirected anger, I think, but anger nevertheless. We shouldn't have to do this. The regulatory agencies look at the laws and the regulations not to see what their responsibilities are, but to look for excuses for inaction. Many have compared it to a criminal enterprise, and I think there's a great deal of validity to that charge.
Well, I think anyone who looks at the way that the EPA has behaved over the last 25 years has to be blind if they can't see that the EPA's, regardless of what it says, what the EPA has mainly done is licensed every possible pesticide that, under the sun, and given it virtually free rein to be used all over America using what's called conditional registration, which means it never really goes through a proper series of tests. They essentially say, put it on the market and use it in every field in America, and if nothing tremendously awful happens, we'll just take a few more studies down the line and just carry on using it forever. And that's not a pesticide regulation system.
The classic example of conditional registration is clothianidin, which is one of the major neonicotinoids. It was given a conditional registration in 2003. And the condition was a life cycle study that has never been successfully completed. And the clothianidin has never met the requirements for registration. What the EPA did was very quietly granted a full registration without any fanfare. And unfortunately, they didn't get away with it because we were watching them. But clothianidin is used on hundreds of millions of acres and has never met the requirements for registration. And rather than go back and review its error in judgment, what the EPA has done is used its resources and our tax dollars to defend its failures in court. This system is seriously awry. And I think that the working level EPA people would like to do the right thing. I think this is a serious, serious management corruption all the way to the top, and the top would be Congress.
Well, going back to what the beekeepers thought they could do about this, I think they went into this presidential task force with the best of intentions. They wanted to get the best compromise they could out of the pesticide companies and the EPA. They thought they could maybe get a better regulation of pesticides and so on. But when it was made clear to them that any discussion of pesticides was taboo, it was off the table, in my view, they should have got up and walked out and taken the whole thing into the court of public opinion. The reality is that regardless of what happens in this particular instance with regard to the current neonicotinoids that are in use and the current pesticides that are in use, the prospect of what is coming down the pike is truly frightening. I mean, they have literally got dozens of new technology systemic pesticides coming down the train road. And whether we manage to stop neonicotinoids, you know, for the current three that are the main ones used in America, that's really small potatoes by comparison with what is coming. And that's why I honestly think beekeepers have to take the long view and say, it's not enough to get this pesticide fixed or this pesticide reduced or that one limited. It's the system that is bringing them onto the market untested, you know, in any real sense, one after another, after another, after another, after another. That is not going to stop. All of the evidence is that that toxic treadmill is accelerating. These people are going for world global domination. They're not going to stop, and bees are just a bump in the road.
Well, the contamination with the neonicotinoids alone is massive, and I've compared it to DDT. The year of highest usage was 1959, 80 million pounds. Mm-hmm. The most recent figures we have for neonicotinoids is 3.5 million pounds, which looks good until you understand that they're 5 to 10,000 times more toxic than DDT, which means that 3.5 million pounds has a toxic equivalent of 17.5 billion pounds of DDT. As mind-boggling as that is, That's just a fraction of what's actually being done, because the EPA in its wisdom does not consider seed treatment to be a pesticide use, and seed treatment constitutes 95% of the usage. And to make it even worse than that, of that 95% of those seed treatments, only 2 to 5% goes into the plant. The rest goes into the soil and the groundwater. And the EPA and the USDA have very carefully avoided any assessment of the contamination of this 7 million acres that they're going to create, this habitat. Mm-hmm. And yet, where these tests have been done, in every test they've done of soils and water, they have found these neonicotinoids, and in many cases at killing levels.
I think the greatest indictment of this entire thing is that it's always been the assumption internationally that peer-reviewed published science is the truth. You know, if you do a piece of research and you submit it to five or six different equally good scientists in different universities, and they all test it and they look at it and they agree that it's true and it's finally published as true, then in a sense that comes to be global truth, or it should be global truth, unless somebody comes up with evidence to shoot it down. And there have been 800 independently peer-reviewed papers in the scientific literature on neonicotinoids, and 99% of them conclude that neonicotinoids are the main cause of bee and pollinator deaths around the world. And the American EPA and the USDA have chosen to completely ignore that massive body of scientific evidence. And instead, they've relied on two or three industry studies, which are palpably ridiculous. And now, that's a much more serious thing. It's not just in the context of pesticides, but if industry can get together and corrupt regulators to the extent that they completely ignore the best world science that exists on any subject, whether it's drugs or tobacco or pharmaceuticals or whatever, because I'm certain the same process is going on in all of those fields, then we really are in a very, very dangerous situation, because it's always, you know, we all grew up with the idea that the universities are repositories of knowledge and of special skills, and that when a group of scientists says tobacco is safe, then it's safe.
But Graham,
now we know that it isn't, of course.
But Graham, there's another problem. You have people that are not taking the time to find out what the research entails, and people who are trying to, I guess, share the information about what's going on with the bees and other pollinators, and they're citing the same rhetoric that industry uses to keep these products on the market as follows. There is no direct link demonstrated between neonicotinoids and the honeybee syndrome known as colony collapse disorder. I see this all the time, and it's extremely frustrating.
It's just garbage. I mean, all you have to do is go and talk to the French who put the millions of their hives into the sunflower fields in 1994, and a week later, they were literally ankle deep in dead bees, billions and billions and billions of dead bees. And the only thing that had changed that year was that imidacloprid, a neonicotinoid, was used on sunflowers for the first time. But taking your point, what annoys me is that people like you and I, and ordinary members of the public and ordinary beekeepers, are having to read these research papers and do this arguing when the EPA is a gigantic government regulatory body funded with billions of dollars of taxpayers' money. They are the ones who are supposed to be the watchdog. They're the ones who are supposed to test the pesticides and say whether they're safe or not. And they are not doing that job. They have become a promotional agency for the pesticide industry. If they ever were a watchdog, they are not today. And that's what annoys me. I don't want to be a watchdog. I don't want to spend one more day reading reports about science and pesticides and dead bees. That's not my job. Why are we, as volunteer amateurs, having to do this job when the people who've got the education, the vast amounts of funding, and the time to do it are not doing it?
The EPA's primary charter was to protect mankind and the environment from unreasonable risk, and they now publicly declare that their mission is the stewardship of pesticides. Now, if that doesn't raise alarm bells, I don't know what will. And yet that kind of public declaration of misunderstanding of their purpose goes unchallenged. Congress is asleep at the wheel.
Well, Graham, what do you hope will happen as a result of this open letter to American beekeepers?
Well, we wrote this letter very reluctantly and with a great deal of trepidation because many of the people who are going to be on the receiving end of this are friends of ours. And we have enormous personal respect for all of these people. But the fact remains that they appear to have been frozen into inaction. They're not doing or saying anything about this appalling hijacking of the White House task report. So the only objective we have in issuing this is to try and get people talking about it who are in a position to do something, who run American beekeeping organizations or are members of county organizations or state organizations. They really need to have a very, very urgent discussion and debate, because if American beekeeping does not get its act together, it's going to sleepwalk into extinction. And the sleepwalking is largely being caused, but strangely enough, by the decency of the people who are in fact representing American beekeeping. They just are not equipped to deal with the corporate sharks who have hijacked this whole process. So debate is what we want.
Once again, they've been put in the position of being the bad guys. One of the reasons that they're reluctant to speak out is because they have relationships with farmers, with agriculture. This is what their businesses depend upon. And when they raise these questions, which they shouldn't have to, when they raise these questions, then they're looked at as the problem. And that's by intent. That's what the EPA has done. They put the beekeepers in the position of being the bad guys. They're the enforcers, and they shouldn't be.
I quite agree. The beekeepers should be able to assume that when they take their bees out into the countryside, they're taking them out into an environment that is essentially good for bees and wildlife. And tragically, on at least 200 million acres, and that's 10 times the size of the country I'm calling you from, Scotland's about 20 million acres, very small. Most of that 200 million acres is not an environment that wildlife can survive in anymore. And that's a terrible waste of America's environment.
Graham, really quickly, I know the White House is going to be listening to this. So since you have their ear, what would you like them to remember from this letter?
I would like them to remember that the United States is dedicated to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that's what the Constitution says. And they set up the EPA to protect the environment and the people. And if the EPA isn't protecting the environment and the people, it's time to reform the EPA, clean house, and put some people in charge who really care about the environment and the health of the people.
Graham, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show. And Tom, also, thank you. And also, thank you for writing this letter. I know that it was very difficult for both of you, but hate to say it, somebody had to do it.
I'm afraid so, yeah.
Yes.
And folks, if you'd like to read the full letter, it is available on theorganicview.com. Thank you so much for tuning in, and please check out our contest section, which is available at www.theorganicview.com/contest. And tune in next week as Tom and I continue to explore the impact of the world of neonicotinoids. Have a great afternoon, everyone.